Good morning. It's encouraging to see you here with us, even though here in the building is very few this morning. I know there are many, many more watching online this morning. I'm encouraged by you and your devotion to God this morning as well on the Lord's Day. We continue to live and operate in pretty unprecedented times. It is something going on now unlike anything that I've certainly ever experienced in my 44 years of life, and I continue to even hear that from people even older than me, that they've never experienced anything like what we are experiencing right now. And I think because of that, there remains in us an incredible temptation to focus in on things that we're not allowed to be doing right now. I know I found myself there a lot lately. We're not allowed to be out as much as we'd like to be. We're not allowed to associate with people as much as we would like to associate. We're not allowed to work maybe as much as we would like to work, or even to play as much as we'd like to play. We're just kind of not able to do as much as what we'd like to do normally. And because of that, there can be a temptation to kind of focus in on the fact, I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't do that over there, and I can't do this thing, and I can't do that thing. And when we live in that world, it can make for a pretty depressing day. And I know that's something that I've certainly battled over the last week or couple of weeks, and I know a lot of you probably have battled that as well. And so my plan for today, both this morning and the time that we have to spend in God's Word, as well as this afternoon and another lesson that will be presented from God's Word at 6:30 that will be still streaming from our website that many of you are following along on this morning. We're going to focus on not so much on things that we can do, but opportunities that we have because of these unprecedented times that we find ourselves in. Maybe hiding in these great tempting times to focus in on the things that we cannot do are blessings that God is providing us with, opportunities that he's providing us with, that because of these unprecedented times give us an advantage in certain areas. So one such advantage and one such opportunity I'm going to spend some time talking about today, and we're going to focus in on it this morning, and we're going to build upon it a little bit this afternoon. And we're going to start with a phrase that is found many times in the pages of the New Testament, specifically out of the voice of Jesus himself. Jesus had a lot of different interactions with a lot of different people. And a lot of his interactions, most of the time, they'll deal with so-called religious people, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. They were the religious elite at the time. And they came at him often from all kinds of different ways and all kinds of different angles. And they had questions and they had concerns and they had issues that they would bring to him time after time after time. And he would deal with those things and he would teach in those opportunities. But there's a phrase that he uttered many different times that you can see it here, have you not read, up on the screen. But as Jesus presents it and the way that he presents it, it comes out as scathing accusations. I want to give you a couple examples of that. We're going to put up on the screen. You certainly can follow along as you turn to them in your Bibles. But an example in Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 3 and 5, here's Jesus. Then he said, that's Jesus. Then he said, have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him? Verse 5, or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? He says, have you not read that? Another example, Matthew chapter 19 and verse 40, answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? As he teaches on this topic. In Matthew chapter 21, verses 16, then again in verse 42, it says that Jesus said to him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes, have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants you have perfected praise. And again, down at the end of that chapter, Jesus, he said to them again, do you never read the scriptures, he says? The very next chapter, Matthew chapter 22, verses 31 and 32, again Jesus says, but concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And in all of these examples, Jesus, in dealing with what were religious people, he utters this phrase that comes out, as we made mention a moment ago, as really a scathing accusation. Have you not read the scriptures? Have you not read about this? Have you not learned this? Have you not seen this? Have you not been accustomed to understanding these kinds of things? And I was thinking about this phrase a little bit this week. Have you not read? And as Jesus lays it down, and lays down the fact that they hadn't read the scriptures, certainly in the way that they should have, Jesus presents right in their face what is a serious issue for them. Have you not read this? Have you not learned this? Have you not understood this? And although we see it over and over in the book of Matthew, given to the scribes, or given to the Pharisees, or given to the Sadducees, I wonder if this could be an issue today. Rephrase that. I know it can be an issue today. Maybe a better question is, can it be an issue for me? So I want to consider that question for a few minutes this morning. How well do you read? How well do you read? I want to start with just kind of breaking just readers into categories. There are three that I came up with. Kind of three categories, I think, of readers. And I think they're broad enough where each and every one of us that are here, each and every one of us that are listening, find ourselves in one of these three categories. You're going to find yourself in one of them. First off, you could be in the category where you never read. And if that's the case, you're probably in the category that you never read anything ever, right? I don't read books. I don't read magazines. I don't read the back of cereal boxes. I don't read the Bible. I just don't read. You probably can read, you just don't read. I mean, that's almost a badge of honor with a lot of people. If you ever talk to somebody, it's almost like a badge of honor with them. Oh, no, 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 I don't read. I'm like, can you read? That's always my follow-up question. Are you able to read? And they're like, well, yeah, of course I can read. I'm like, well, why don't you? It's kind of cool to be able to do it and not do it. But maybe you find yourself here. I think, biblically speaking, even though we live in kind of a weirdly religious world, I would think, biblically speaking, as the world goes, this is sadly probably the largest category. Just never read. They're not familiar with the Bible at all. Their Bible never, ever is open. The second category is someone who reads a little. They read a little bit. It's not that I never read. I read just a little. Maybe it is that you read and God's word is open just every now and then. Every now and then. I don't even know what phrase I was looking for. Every now and then. Maybe it's open when you're here at services and the preacher is preaching and you're going to open your Bible. Or maybe it gets open on Saturday nights and Wednesday afternoons as you're preparing for a Bible class. And then you come on class on Wednesday night and maybe there your Bible is open. Or maybe it is that you only open your Bible selectively. That is, I have my favorite passages. I love the book of Matthew, and so that's all that I ever find myself reading. Or I love the book of Psalms, and that's what I always find myself reading. And you don't really go anywhere else in God's word. You just kind of read selectively as you go through. Probably speaking, for religious folks, this is probably the biggest category that there is. It's not that I never read. Is that I read a little bit. I read some. And then you have that third category of those that read God's word regularly. They read God's word regularly. They read it wanting to learn more about God, wanting to get closer to God. They read it wanting to understand more about God's will. They read it with a heart to obey what it says. It is a part of who they are. That's those who read it regularly. I'm going to give you an example of it. And it's an example I really kind of like in Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, there's a story that unfolds for us towards the end of that chapter of a conversion of a man from Ethiopia. And a lot of times the story is told how it is that Philip, and he's called away, and he gets to where this man is there in Ethiopia, and he goes up into the chariot with him, and he preaches to him Jesus. And the Ethiopian there, he sees a body of water, and if you say, you know, here is water, what hinders me from being baptized? And then both Philip and the eunuch, they go down into the water, and he's baptized into Jesus, and he goes away rejoicing. I mean, it's a perfect example of conversion. It is a perfect example of the way that preaching Jesus has the power to save a soul. And we make those points when we talk about this story. But what I find interesting is at the very beginning of this story, what kind of man do we find that this Ethiopian was? What category do you think he would fall into? In Acts chapter 8, beginning of verse 27, it says that he arose and went, and behold, that's Philip, he rose and went, and behold, a man from Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading the Isaiah the prophet. I was thinking about that this week, and the question I came up with: how many other things could he have been doing in that chariot at that moment? How many other things could he have been doing? He'd already been to Jerusalem and worship. He'd already done that. He'd already filled himself up religiously. He'd done that. He had completed that. How many other things could he be doing? The text tells us he was an important person, and he had an important job, and he had important things to do, and he had been away. And so certainly he had emails to check, right? He had texts to follow up on, right? He had all of those things. He had lots of things that he could probably have been doing. He could have just been resting. He could have been watching and just people watching, or what he could have been doing, lots of other things. But what does the text tell us he was doing? Reading from the scriptures. And the reason I thought about that this week, and even last week a little bit, is as we find ourselves just at home for the most part, more than probably we have in a long time. And there's probably moments in your day, I don't know how long those moments have been, an hour, a half hour, 2 or 3 or 5 hours of the day, where you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, what am I going to do now? I've rearranged the pantry. I've cleaned all the bathrooms. I've organized my desk. What am I going to do now? And I wonder, in those moments that we've thought, you know what? Let's open up God's Word. And I see here in Acts chapter 8 someone who had lots of things to choose from, but he's reading from Isaiah the prophet. Now the question, because of the story that has unfolded for us after these verses, what an incredible impact it had on him. Now, I want us to begin to thinking about the reality that this is where we should find ourselves. Not that every minute of every day our Bible needs to be opened in front of us. There are things that need to be done in this world for certain. But how much a part of your life is God's Word? And if it isn't as much a part of God's Word, your life, as it needs to be, what a great, unprecedented opportunity that we have right now to make it a part. What an incredible blessing we have of time, of opportunity to make it a part. So why is it that we should read regularly? Why should we do that? What difference really does it make? I want to give you a couple of things to think about, and then I'm going to give you a couple of practical things to consider, and then we'll close it out this morning. Well, I think one of the reasons that we're going to read regularly is because that's where God's blessings are found. I mean, if we were just to go around and we were to ask, hey, are we interested in God's blessings? All of us are interested in God's blessings. Well, where do those things originate from? Where can we find those blessings? Well, those blessings are found in God's Word. Logan read for us from Psalm 1, the very beginning of the book of Psalms, and we spent a lot of time in the Psalms over the last couple of weeks. In the very first one, the reality gives us that God's Word is a key component to the blessings that come from God. Verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Blessed is the man who does these things, who meditates, who lives it, who makes it a part of his life. Spiritual blessings, all spiritual blessings, begin right here in the reading of God's Word. They all begin right there. Secondly, why we should read regularly is because we need to grow in understanding. Now, we could fill this list up with lots of things that we need to grow an understanding about. I gave you just a couple of things to consider. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 10 through 13, the passage talks about how it is that making God's Word a part of our life allows us to grow and to come to the understanding that we need to fear the Lord. You can even take that next step in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and the beginning of wisdom. And all of those things originated from God's Word specifically. To fear the Lord, we learn that through reading regularly. Wisdom, we learn that through reading regularly. In the New Testament, in the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the brethren in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning of verse 3, says, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in a few words, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. The mystery of Christ, it's revealed through God's Word. We're not going to come to an understanding of that unless we open it up and we read it regularly and we make it a part of our life. In the book of 2 Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, again, the Apostle Paul, this time writing to Timothy, talks about God's Word and the blessings that certainly can come from it. He begins at verse 14, where he says, but as for you, continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We read regularly so that we can grow in our understanding of salvation, which is in Christ. We read regularly so that we can grow in our understanding of what the will of God is, so that we can follow it. We read regularly so that we can grow in our hope. Our hope has already been talked about this morning by the other men, and it's something that continues to give us the encouragement and the energy, I think, in times of difficulty. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, it says that for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. We read regularly so I can grow in understanding, so I can grow in hope, so that I can be blessed. We talked about why it is that we do that. I think all of us would contend it's something important. But again, what a great opportunity we have right now to make it a part of our lives, a regular part of our day. Building those habits through this unprecedented opportunity that we have to do so. So as we close, let's talk about some tips to help us do just that. What are some practical things that I can be thinking about as I'm pushing myself to read regularly, to make God's Word more a part of my day? I want to give you a couple of things to consider. And the first is, you know, right off the bat, we've got to do it regularly. We've got to move ourselves out of the category of I read just a little into I read regularly. We've got to move ourselves into that category. Maybe you need to move yourself out of the category of I never read into I read a little into I read regularly. Maybe that's a step that needs to be made this week or in the coming days to make it a part of our day, to make it a part of our routine, to make it a part of our existence, is that I read regularly. Secondly, you need to read with devotion. And you might say, well, that makes sense. Well, it does make sense. You know, we often make the point that there are lots of things that we can read. I mean, there are lots of things in the world to read. But when we open this book, there is something unique. It is unlike anything else that we read, any other words that we read. It is different because it is from God. It is from His own mind. And when we read this, it is so incredibly different. And so we've got to read with devotion. And how do I do that? Well, I'll give you just something to think about, something that I will often do when I open up God's Word to begin to read from it that helps me to understand where it comes from. A tip to help us with this is to maybe begin or end, or maybe to begin and end your opening of God's Word and reading from it with prayer. As you open up God's Word, pray to God, thanking Him for it, asking Him to open up your heart to it. And as you close, maybe pray again, acknowledging what you've just read. You know, that helps in our devotion. Thirdly, read with intent. Read with intent. Intent to live it. Read with the intent to make the changes that need to be made. Read with intent to be a doer of the Word, not just a hearer only. And so you read regularly, and you read with devotion, and you read with intent. And one final one that I'll throw out there that I've used personally probably for the last decade or so. It's been probably over 10 years. But I am a huge proponent of reading aloud. And I often will read aloud completely and all by myself. You can sneak in on me sometimes. Not this week, I've not been here at the building, but if I'm here working, sometimes you'll see I'll walk the halls here. It's a forever long walk to the printer when I print something off from my office and have to go all the way to the resource room. But if there's a passage that I'm reading and I'm trying to put into my mind, I will read it out loud. And it helps. It helps me to put into my mind because I'm saying it and I'm seeing it and I'm hearing it. And all of those things are combining together. And it helps my understanding, and it helps my retention. And maybe there are a lot of other tips that you can come up with and things that can help. But what I want us to understand today is instead of focusing in on the incredible, unprecedented time that we have now where I can't do anything, let's begin to focus in on the unprecedented opportunity that I have to do something. And one of those things is to make God's Word more a part of your life than what it already was. Maybe you're already in the category of I read regularly. Let's take another step deeper into that. There's always a step that we can take. Let's take advantage of the time that we have. This incredible opportunity, I'll call a blessing. And there are not many people calling the times that we're in blessings. But as someone that is focused on God, we can able to see that in all circumstances He can work for good. This is one of those circumstances. So something to think about as we move through the day, something to think about as we move through this week, through these times and circumstances that we have. Let's take advantage of the time that we've got. to make God more a part of our life than what he was before. And that's something that each and every one of us can do. Well, Morgan made mention that we're going to sing a song of encouragement, and I'll have to admit the song at this particular time in this particular way feels different than it normally does. Normally, this is an opportunity where we'll extend the Lord's invitation, and certainly that invitation not just is open only at the times at the very end of a lesson, but it's an invitation that's always available, always open. And as we sing this song together here, and as you sing this song at home, it's the same opportunity that we have while we're all gathered here, 350 of us or 20 of us. It's the same opportunity. The words of this song, I am resolved, I believe. The words of this song to consider where we are with God. And if a change needs to take place, let's make that change. Maybe it is you've walked away from God. Well, let's make that change and come back to him. Maybe you come to the understanding, the consideration, whether you're here physically or not, that you need to put Christ on in baptism. I'll tell you this without any shadow of doubt in my mind. If that's a conclusion that you've come to and you need to talk to somebody about it, or you need to get yourself into this building at some point in the day, you can call me at any opportunity that you've got, anytime, and we can make that happen. Maybe we can help you. You think about this as we sing this song together. And if we can help you, or you can think about your relationship with God, I'd encourage you to do something about it. You think about this song as we stand and sing it together.